A Shudder original. RLJE Films. XYZ Films. XYZ Films and Madrona Drive present. Elevation Pictures and Intract Films present. Produced with the financial participation of Telefilm Canada. SODEC Quebec, Quebec Tax Credit. Canada Media Fund. And Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit. Produced and developed with the participation of the Harold Greenberg Fund. Produced in association with Crave, a division of Bell Media Incorporated. A Prospector Films production. A film by Jeff Barnaby. A quote appears in red text, "Take heed to thyself, that thou make no treaty with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be the cause of ruin among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones and burn down their groves." The quote changes, "Take heed to thyself, that thou make no treaty with the inhabitants of the land. For when they whore themselves to their demons and sacrifice to them, you will eat their sacrifices. And when you choose some of their daughters for your sons, they will lead your sons to do the same." Ancient Settler Proverb. Just before dawn, an old man, Gizagu, of the Mi'kmaq Nation, steers a small fishing boat through the mist of a quiet river. He hoists a full net of fish over the back of the boat. Red words appear above him, Red Crow Indian Reservation, 1981. Later on the shore, between a ruined stone building and a dead tree, he gets out of the boat with a box full of fish. Walking into a small wooden shack, he drops his box on a bench as he passes. Standing at the bench, he runs his knife along a fish's stomach, and scoops the guts out into a bin by his feet. The guts of another fish splash onto his overalls. The dead fish's tail flaps, and he steps back, shocked. The fish falls off the table, and flops around on the ground. All the fish jump off the bench and thrash on the ground, and the bewildered man watches. The words, "Blood Quantum," appear in big capital letters over an animated image. The smoke of industrial chimneys blocks a large setting sun, and in the foreground, the ground glows green beside dead trees. A naked, heavily pregnant woman kneels on a grassy mound, as glowing green tendrils wrap around her and connect to her womb, which glows green for a moment. The image pulls backwards, past the green mound, over a womb-shaped waterhole, containing an image of a baby. Pulling back further, the image shifts back to the real world, tracking along a stream as credits appear. A swaying view of the river from above scans across the town and the waterfront. The image sways along the steel bars of a long suspension bridge, which connects a reservation to the town. Lights from the town's different buildings can be seen in the gray dawn, dotted around the tall steeple of a church. The sun rises, illuminating the church, a cemetery, and the bridge with trucks driving over it. A sheriff's truck, with the words, Red Crow, painted on it, drives next to the river. The truck pulls up outside a rundown building, surrounded by junk piles. A 50-year-old man in a cowboy hat tosses his empty beer bottle on the ground and stands to greet the sheriff, a Mi'kmaq man in his 40s, in a plaid shirt and puffer vest.
It took you so long.
Fish mittens, where is she?
The large man, named Moon, limps over to a junk pile and looks away as the sheriff kneels to inspect something.
What'd you do to her?
Nothing. It could have been rat poison in that garbage. That could have been it. These fucking dogs, Taylor. I told you about them. Now I gotta pick all this shit up.
Sorry, Glenn.
The sheriff strokes a dog laying prone on his side and stands, aiming a revolver at its head. He changes his aim to the dog's stomach.
Shit. What I wouldn't do to shoot my ex's dog.
Have you met my ex?
A Mi'kmaq woman in her 30s, wearing a moose hide jacket over medical scrubs, is seen through the tangled bare branches of a tree. She chops firewood outside a red cabin decorated with moose skulls. Inside the house, she readies herself in a mirror and strides over to a whistling kettle, taking it off the hob. She pours the hot water over loose tea leaves in a strainer. Outside her house, the sheriff pulls up next to a Ford pickup and leans over his wheel, taking a moment to breathe. He lets himself in through the front door and finds her standing by her kitchen counter.
You're a little early.
Early for what?
Well, you didn't talk to Doris?
She's just getting in now. She might have called my place, but I wasn't home. What's she supposed to be telling me?
Joseph got picked up this morning. They got him in town and they said they'll only release him to you.
Jesus Christ.
You think this is us? Just shitty parents?
I think he thinks his dad is a fuck up. And it gives him a free pass.
She chooses not to respond, and they both look away awkwardly.
I'll meet you there at noon. No reason to get him out early.
Hey. Have you seen Harley?
No, I'll keep an eye out for her.
She stares after him as he leaves the house. Back in his truck, the sheriff wears a pained expression and lets out a large sigh, then grabs the radio from his dashboard.
Dispatch. Doris.
I hear
here, Chief. I've been calling your place all morning.
I'm at Joss's.
Oh, yeah?
Not like that. Get on with it. Skip the hillbilly annex and just give me the highlights.
I'm just trying to get organized. Today's been crazy. Really crazy. Berner called earlier. Said some drunk white guy was trying to eat his chickens and that if you didn't show up soon, he was gonna blow his fucking head off. His words, Chief.
Where's Bumper?
Where else, Chief? He's in the woods.
Bring him down and get him strapped. What else?
You know, Joseph got picked up.
I talked to Joss already. I'll get him this afternoon.
That's not what I was gonna mention, Chief.
Spit it out.
Lysol got picked up with him.
Of course he did. This band is open. Keep me posted.
One more thing, Chief. Your dad called. He sounded scared.
A puzzled look crosses his face. Later, the sheriff's truck slowly makes its way along the road. The truck parks outside a red shipping container, with a spray-painted sign saying, Pawn Shop. The sheriff notices the open door of a nearby Chevy, and inspects it. He shuts it, and makes his way into the pawn shop.
Dad!
Passing a photo of soldiers in the jungle, he walks up to his dad, sitting at a desk. Gizagoo stares at his smoke, lost in thought. He speaks in Mi'kmaq and then repeats himself in English.
Bija Basa. Look inside.
Confused, the sheriff studies the fishing box on the ground, and approaches it. Removing the speaker weighing it down, he opens it. In Mi'kmaq he says, dead salmon.
I think I'm going crazy.
Dad, you...
He jumps back, startled.
That thing's gutted. I pulled him out of the river this morning.
The sheriff checks the box again.
I've been fishing these rivers for 60 years. I never seen nothing like that.
I have gas in the trunk.
Pointing, the sheriff says, burn it. As they walk outside with the box, the sheriff notices the trunk of his truck shaking and banging. With his hand on his gun, he opens the trunk. The dead dog bursts out and he shoots it in the head.
The fuck is going on, Dad?
Give me the gas and the dog.
Gizagoo throws the dog and the fish into a metal barrel, and pours gas into it. He lights a match and flicks it in.
Feel like coming out of retirement? You're a deputy in the Red Crow Police Department. Bumper will be up at his camp. Bring him down.
The sheriff closes his trunk.
See what's up at Berner's. Don't get anyone shot.
With his eyes fixed on the barrel, Gizagoo says, that fish is still moving.
May I love much yet.
Lysol, a Mi'kmaq man in his 20s, lights a cigarette as his prison cellmate retches and pukes. Joseph, a teenager with a shaved head, sleeps on the bench next to him, and he wakes him with a pat on the head.
Oh, bro. So you want to quit drinking, just Fuck yeah, yeah. Just lock somebody in a cell with you two fucking idiots all night. If I can die already, hillbilly.
Leaning against a wall, the white guy flips him off.
You here to break me out?
Come on, man. Huh. Like, I knew Dad wouldn't come get you, but he'd come get us. So I got arrested town, he said.
Oh, you think he's gonna come get you? He could just leave you.
My mom wouldn't let him.
Thanks, man, but I ain't no fucking charity case, and you being trailer's good, son. Any stupid shit you do, your people are gonna hang on me.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fuck with my dad then.
That's the same difference, Joey.
Come on, fuck!
They back up as the guy vomits blood.
Yo!
Get us out of here!
The sheriff walks into the police station, where his ex waits impatiently.
Jesus, Trailer. You said noon and that was an hour ago. Get the hell off RC time.
I'm here.
Thank you.
She knocks on the visitor's window, where a white cop sits at his desk ignoring her.
Hello?
Trailer joins her.
Hey, Sham. Whenever you're ready, man. We don't got all day.
Trailer.
Hey, Joss.
So we got some paperwork for you to read and sign, then, me and Trailer here, I guess we'll just do that all up just like last time. You know your boy gets arrested more than a prostitute?
I'll be in the car.
She seems mad.
Shamu opens the door for Trailer, who leans in the doorway.
So what do you do?
Joseph leans on the railings of the bridge.
Well, we caught him on the bridge.
He throws his beer bottle.
Yeah. He had climbed up the structure and shimmied over the road in the crossbar.
Sitting on the crossbar, he pulls down his pants.
And then he took a shit on the first car that drove by.
Shit splatters on a little old lady's windscreen, who breaks and tries to get it off with her wipers.
It was a little lady from our side of the line. She probably thought it was a goddamn pterodactyl shitting on her.
He falls onto the boot of her car, and she looks back, astonished. Shamu coughs into his handkerchief.
Gross.
All right.
Let's go.
They open the door to the boy's cell.
Smells like a fucking ass in here.
What's with the blood? Was this guy beat up when he came in?
He's been clutching his guts all night, and then he started...
The guy vomits more blood.
Come on. Don't go nowhere, shitbirds.
The guy leaps up with rabid eyes and forces Shamu against the wall. Trailer and Lysol drag him off, and Shamu kicks him in the face, but he lunges again. Trailer holds the guy in a headlock with a nightstick, and Joseph punches him, but the guy bites him.
Fuck! Fucking bitch!
He bites Shamu on the neck, as Trailer beats him with a nightstick.
Don't bite me when I fight, motherfucker!
Shamu keeps pummeling him.
You want to eat people? You want to fucking eat people? You want to fucking eat people, you cocksucker?
Hey.
Oh, and then
hey.
Fucking lost your goddamn hole.
Hey, he's not
gonna get that fucking hillbilly eight. You fucking kill him. Put a new hole in your head, you son of a bitch.
I'm fucking kill him.
Long night. Fuck.
Trailer drags him out of the cell.
It looks like you got your tip.
Fuck off! I'll fucking put you back in there, you understand?
The guy in the cell wakes up with milky eyes.
This is too fucked up! Where did he go?
A bloody hand hits the window.
Hey, you're not leaving me here, right?
And then this
fucking mental case just lunges, like lunges at Shamu and bites him right in the chest. And me and Lysol and Trailer trying to pull him, and then he fucking bites me too.
I don't give a shit who bit you. I'm ready to bite you myself.
In the car, Joe's head drops.
So what did you get arrested for?
Just vandalized some car.
You just vandalized some car? You need to start making better choices.
I know I fucked up, Mom.
Now you know? Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Look, I know your heart's in the right place, but your head's up your ass.
It's not like I just met Charlie, Mom. It's not like I don't care about her. Look, I really love her.
Look, I'm not talking about Charlie. I'm talking about your brother. And I'm talking about why you keep getting into trouble with this guy.
He doesn't have anyone else. Trailer fucking abandoned him. The whole reserve knows what happened to his mom.
I hear you, and I get you on that. Joseph, if you're more focused on being a brother to Lysol than being a father, and if the question ever came up if you were ready, the way you're prioritizing your life right now is your answer.
Lysol and Trailer sit in their cars and talk through the windows.
Well, that was really fucked up.
This whole day has been fucked up.
Oh, I'm sure you've had worse.
You up, Chief?
Trailer picks up his radio and turns down a beer from his son.
What news?
Sugar called and said his girlfriend is sick and the ambulance from town still isn't picking up.
They never pick up. What time did he call you? And how long has he been calling the townies?
He called here 12:30 this afternoon and he said he's been calling for an ambulance since last night. But he could be lying.
You have no idea how many times I've been over there because of his bullshit. His girlfriend's still pregnant.
Pretty sure, boss.
He puts the radio down and glances at Lysol.
I can't keep bailing you out, Alan.
Nobody told you to bail me out.
Tell that to your brother. Whatever you think of me, the kid deserves better.
Better than what?
Either one of us.
As Trailer drives off, Lysol smashes his beer bottle on the ground and stews.
Sperm donor.
Joseph clutches his wounded arm as he plods along a hospital corridor to a white girl, waiting anxiously for him. The brunette teenager is stony-faced as he sits opposite her.
This is the ugliest waiting room I've ever seen.
Thanks for stopping by.
He looks back guiltily.
I'm sorry. Everything seems like a good idea when you're drunk.
Says the teenage boy to his pregnant teenage girlfriend.
The abortion place.
Overwhelmed, she closes her eyes and rests her head in her hands.
I didn't even tell my dad.
Are you embarrassed of me?
What in the hell happened to your arm?
Don't change the subject.
I'm not changing the subject. I just want to know what happened.
Look, some hillbilly bit me in the drunk tank. My mom's getting me a tetanus shot. I'm not going to bleed to death waiting, so can you please answer my question? Are you embarrassed of me?
No. Fuck no. I'm embarrassed of him. He's just embarrassing.
He gets up and sits next to her.
You still want to do this?
Off his pleading stare, she shakes her head. As she takes his hand, he caresses her arm, and they sit together quietly. In an office in the hospital, Joss searches through medical supplies, while a white blonde woman sits at her desk.
Lydia,
Are we at a tetanus? How could that be?
Yes, the guys in emergency cleared us out. They said they've been getting a lot of bites. This town has lost its mind.
Bites?
You got the wrong number.
What's going on?
Joss follows the noise into the hallway. A nurse with blood on his scrubs bursts out of the double door at the end of the hallway. As Joss stares after him, a patient can be seen through the open double doors, biting another nurse. At night, the sheriff's truck makes its way down the road. A man stumbles out of his house, clutching a beer, to meet the truck's flashing lights. He steadies himself on the truck as Trailer gets out.
Jesus Christ, Sugar.
She's had it.
What the fuck are you on about?
Yeah. Has no time. And there's supposed to be little fingernails, little yellow teeth are going out.
Of course, you're high. Stupid cocksucking fuckface. You should have just called a cab right away.
I ain't got no money left. And nobody's not gonna let us into their house to use their phone. And they don't like her hot chief because she's white.
Is she all right at least?
No. She's definitely not all right, chief. I ain't got no more coke here. I don't want any more.
I swear to God, if you don't get a hold of yourself, I'm gonna kick your ass off the face of this fucking planet.
Trailer walks into the house.
Where is she?
Yeah, upstairs to the left. I think I left it open, maybe. In the back room. Yeah, upstairs to the left. She said the baby needed to eat with no mouth.
What?
Hey, with no mouth.
Trailer climbs the stairs and peers through a doorway, finding a woman in a nightgown, standing by herself, chewing something.
Are you all right, man?
She stiffens and turns to him, dropping a half-eaten baby. She lunges at Trailer, knocking him down, and they struggle on the floor. She bites his left forearm, and he punches her in the face and throws her at the wall. He kicks her away, as she grabs his leg. Barreling out of the house clutching his arm, he ignores Sugar, and jumps into his truck, grabbing a first aid kit, with shaking, bloody hands.
Get me the fuck away from you!
The woman runs out of the house and leaps on Sugar, biting his neck as he falls back onto the hood of the truck. Trailer grabs cartridges from the glove box and walks around the car, loading his shotgun with difficulty. He pulls her off Sugar, and pummels her with the butt of his gun, until her face turns to pulp. Trailer and Sugar drive away, leaving the corpse on the road. Sugar holds his bleeding neck in the back seat.
You killed her, man.
Shut up!
Oh, fuck.
Doris! Doris! Sugar's hurt!
Oh, fuck, your boss. Just see what your father brought in. You're gonna shit first base.
Hey, man. Keep over here, man.
Doris, I gotta bring Sugar to the hospital. There's supposed to be a fucking ambulance. I dropped that girl. I think I killed her.
Joss is coming over in an ambulance. She's talking hysterical, chief.
About what?
She's saying, don't get bit, chief. Don't get bit.
His eyes widen, and he checks his left arm.
Tell her I'll be right there.
Fuck, man!
Hold on!
Waiting by a convenience store, Trailer sees an ambulance crash in the middle of the bridge as all of the town's lights go out.
You can let me out here, boss.
Stay put. We're gonna go get him.
He climbs back into the truck and stops on the bridge. He approaches the ambulance, finding a dead man hanging through the windscreen, covered in blood. One of the doors opens, and an axe clatters to the ground as Joss stumbles out. The man in the windscreen starts to move, and Joss shoots him in the head with Trailer's gun.
Hey!
Joseph's still in the back! The door's stuck!
Charlotte! Open the fucking door!
Locked in the back of the ambulance, a zombie bites Joseph's neck from behind as Trailer shoots the door.
Get the fuck off me, you bitch!
Joseph kicks the zombie, and she falls through the open door onto Trailer. He sees his handgun next to him and reaches for it. As he struggles to fend off the zombie, a large man appears and buries a chainsaw deep in the zombie's head from behind. Covered in blood, Trailer throws the corpse off him and looks at the large man, Bumper, who says, "New chain," with a smile. Trailer crawls to his feet. The group gather around the corpse and set it on fire. Gizagoo says, "Just like the dog, just like the fish, the dead are coming back to life." They watch the corpse burn. In red type, the words, "6 months later," appear. Zombies wander around the messy streets, and spot fires burn all over the town. A view from the river shows plumes of black smoke rising into the air. On the shoreline, wooden defenses wrapped in barbed wire have been put up, and a legless corpse hangs from an excavator arm. A man with a leather jacket and a black hoodie pulled over a painted skull mask stands in front of a chained up, legless zombie. He graffitis a letter on the zombie, who is chained to the entrance to a compound made up of shipping containers.
Subtle.
A masked man sits on a container with a rifle, and a Mi'kmaq woman stands on a picnic bench looking into the distance. Lysol takes off his skull mask and stares at the zombie with hatred as it gnashes its teeth. He walks over to the woman on the table and pulls a packet of candy from his jacket.
You should check this out. An old box of these, and this is the only one that didn't have blood on it. Could probably swap a blowjob for this. It's cherry flavored.
Fuck, you could get a blowjob from anyone. It's probably the last cherry flavored powder in the world.
I'm eating this.
Trucker's coming in with Joseph, Charlie, and three boat people. Everyone behave.
Oh, to you who are highly favored.
No shit.
Hey, Doris, that's my little brother, so I wouldn't harm a hair on his head.
A white man carrying a child in a blanket comes into view, followed by a short-haired woman in her 20s, escorted by Joseph, Charlie, and Bumper.
Three more mouths to feed. Yay.
Oh, good grief, Charlie Brown.
You know, the girl, this guy and his kid are stragglers.
Hey, I know you too.
Make that 2 more mouths to feed. The girl's sick.
Welcome to our pallet of care.
Put her down.
What's going on here? I haven't done anything wrong. And you're bringing your sick here. What's right about it? My little girl got injured, that's all. She needs help. I was told I could get help here. Who told you?
With his cookery, a curved blade attached to a 6-foot stick, Lysol pulls back the blanket to find a deep wound on the feverish girl's neck.
Oh, wait a minute. We could just go back and leave, or use one of the boats. We don't need...
Lysol strikes him.
We barely know this guy. Fuck, Lysol, settle down.
Fuck, you just said it, man. You don't know this guy. How do you know that this fucking townie didn't come here with this refugee Pollyanna act? To plant this infected bitch right on our doorstep. You brought her here. What? Take this knife, slide it in her ear, and stir it around.
The man knocks the knife away.
Do you know what we had to do to get here? No, and I don't give a fuck either. You do it up or I'll do it for you.
Charlie stands between Lysol and the girl.
What if my baby's born sick? You gonna shoot us too?
I do what I have to do.
Joseph hits Lysol.
Whoa, easy, boy.
Broke my dipstick. You owe me a blowjob.
Point the gun at Charlie again, I'll fucking kill you.
Joseph! Alan! What the fuck are you doing? I was checking for bites like you told us to. Or do you want to fucking open up the floodgates and let them stay?
Look at you. Look at all of you. Get your fucking shit together! What are you doing? How the fuck do you even keep arranging this?
We're supposed to be helping people. That's what I'm doing.
We're not supposed to be doing anything. We're supposed to be surviving.
Bumper asks, how far gone? Trailer replies, we're gonna have to kill her.
What are you guys talking about? Speak English.
Bumper asks, what about the other two? Joss can look at them. Trailer replies, just the girl.
Oh, sick. I bet they...
Speak English!
Trailer stares at the man coldly.
Your girl's been bit. She can't come in here. She'll put everyone in danger. You should have said something.
I heard that you could cure bites here. I should have been honest about that up front. But look. Look, he's been bit.
She stopped on her breathing.
The man looks down at the body of his daughter.
Everyone inside!
The father kneels and weeps over her body as the group retreat into the compound.
You need to move away from her.
Trailer pulls the man to his feet.
Go inside. You're not gonna want to see her come back.
You're especially not gonna want to see what he does with that axe.
The woman, James, pushes the dad into the compound and the corrugated iron gate slides shut. Lysol's graffiti can be seen. If they're red, they're dead. If they're white, they bite.
Gonna make them take that shit down.
Bumper says, I've never killed a child before. Trailer takes Bumper's ornamental axe and prepares himself. As the girl begins to rise, he swings the axe down. Lysol watches from a platform above the gate, and inside, people walk about and warm themselves by flaming barrels.
It was the dogs that got my family. I was sentimental about my dog. Turns out, immune to the plague doesn't mean immune to being eaten alive.
James glances back to the father, lost in his own grief.
Look, I get it. You're still feeling bad about Karen, but look around you. Everyone here lost somebody.
Kira.
What?
Her name was Kira.
Zed. That's just Zed, not some little girl. It's better to, you know, not look at them as whatchamacallits, people. Are you fucking crazy? You can't bring that here.
She snatches Kira's blood-soaked blanket from him and throws it into a flaming barrel.
go follow Jay and Charlie and a pregnant lady into the nurse's station. And don't forget, ain't nobody immune here but us. So feel safe here.
She walks back to the gate. Inside, Joss talks to the short-haired woman.
I'm just gonna ask you a couple questions, okay?
The woman, with sunken eyes, nods and looks down.
So how long were you out there for?
I lost track of the time.
Joss nods, looking suspicious.
What did you guys eat while you were out there? Did you eat any salmon?
The woman eyes Joss warily.
Did you eat any dog? Anything else?
Are you asking me if I had to eat people? Has anyone ever answered yes to that?
Well, what's your answer?
Joss holds the woman's gaze.
No. I haven't eaten any people or dogs or fucking anything.
Settle down.
Do you have a bathroom?
One more question. It's a big one. Did you get bit?
No.
In the bathroom, the woman pulls up her shirt and examines an oozing stomach wound in the mirror. Pulling her shirt down, she looks at the cubicles and sees a pool of blood spreading along the floor.
Hello?
Cautiously, she checks it out.
Who's there?
She climbs onto the toilet of an empty cubicle and looks over the wall. She finds the father dead, slumped on the toilet, with deep slits in both wrists. He springs to life. Trailer spreads a map on the hood of a car.
Everything is blocked off. We got four-man teams at every blockade. The road's coming in off of 132, and nothing really to worry about. Stragglers still stumbling in from some of the podunk towns on the island, pretty old and mangled. Don't move as fast, so they've been picking them off easy.
Bodies are starting to pile up faster than we can bury them, so we might have to spark up those pyres again, regardless of who sees them. We're getting the same problem on the bridge. Zed's been coming in towny side nonstop. We were wasting an ammo trying to keep them from ramping up the blockade. Bumper found a way around that without having to fire a single shot or mop up a single body.
A stationary combine harvester sits in the middle of the bridge and cuts Zeds to bits as they try to cross. Blood spurts out of the funnel.
The bigger problem than the dead walking around townies, the live breathing ones. They're coming across in almost the same numbers. Some people in Red Crow don't like it, but we gotta do right by survivors. We've been housing all the intakes here at the hall. We've been keeping the boats that have been coming in tied up at the old man's shanty. If something happens here, we get separated, we meet up at the church. We get enough space between here and there to buy us time to get on those boats. We wait this thing out to winter. We can hit the towns, clean out the Zedsicles, and find any other survivors. I keep reminding people, moose and deer are clean. And anything out of the water is bad meat. We hunt and trap for food. That mountain water is clean. That leaves one thing. Gas. Only thing left is that gas station with the Muppets own on the red side of 132. Berner said there's a whole reservoir there that we haven't even tapped yet.
Chuka's been keeping an eye on things for us. They've been bringing girls up there, Papa Muppets, and telling them if they give them head, they're gonna be immune. Either way, we gotta clean them out.
Sugar interrupts their meeting.
It's the guy that came with the girl, Chief. He killed himself. Fuck.
Trailer stands outside the cubicle.
Jesus. He couldn't shoot himself like a normal person.
Need a hand, Chief?
He unsheathes his machete, and Shooker leaves the room as he kicks the door in. Charlie and Joseph sit on their beds at night.
I think going on runs has made your brother even more mental.
I used to think it was because my dad had him when he was, like, young. He was just never in the picture. The way his mom died didn't help. Sent him to foster care, and who knows what happened there. He left an Allen and came back a Lysol.
Yeah, I forgot that was his mom.
Gave him a pass on so much fucking nonsense. You still have him, Mom. You know how many times he said that shit to me? Has to stop sometime. He can't just be an asshole.
Yeah, fuck him then. But either way, he was right.
Yeah, he's right. If that girl flipped 5 minutes sooner...
No, it's not the sick little girls that I'm worried about.
Do you know what we have here, man? This might be the last place on the planet that isn't overrun.
I know.
Then what are you doing? I'm straight up asking you, can't me understand, what are you doing?
People look at me here.
She flops back on her bed.
Like my vagina's Pandora's box.
Laughing, he lies down next to her.
I have nightmares, Joseph. This baby eating me from the inside out. You're immune. I'm not. What if this baby isn't either? I mean, what if it just decides to eat its way out?
Charlie, my mom's watching you every day. People been doing this shit since monkeys got off their knuckles.
It's not about the pregnancy, dumbass. It's about sitting here and just waiting for something to happen. Because don't you feel it? Something's gonna happen.
I trust my mother. She says it's healthy, has a healthy heartbeat.
Shooker's baby?
I didn't see that. Look, Shooker's woman was a dope addict, and so was he.
I didn't want this.
I know. But you said it a million times, you were at the hospital.
No, to fight with you.
Have you thought of any names?
No, not really. You?
No.
You don't name the things that eat you?
Jesus, Charlie. I love you.
They kiss and rest their heads together. Joss sits quietly by an emergency bed, and Trailer walks in, clutching his shoulder.
You clipped me.
All right, well, take your shirt off. Let me have a look. Here, sit.
He sits down and unbuttons his shirt, and she stands behind him, examining a fresh wound on a back full of old bite scars.
You're gonna need stitches. I don't have any lidocaine, so you're just gonna have to grit your teeth.
Got any beer?
She pierces his skin with a needle and begins to stitch him up as he looks towards Joseph and Charlie.
You did so good by him.
Yeah, well, you're in there too.
Yeah. The part that gets drunk and takes shits off of bridges.
Look, he's loyal. And he's smart. He's a fighter. Maybe he didn't split the atom, but he survived the end of the world.
She cuts the thread of his sealed-up wound. Helping him put his shirt back on, she says, "You're your father's son, so is Joseph." She grabs his shoulders, and he caresses her hand.
Thank you.
Outside, as cars are loaded up, Lysol dumps a chain of bullets in Joss's truck, and sits down, swigging from a bottle.
A little 302s I can rustle up. James got more, but I can't find a drunk guy.
I don't plan on using him.
We should have ran that fool off the reserve when he was alive.
I thought Rob Muppet was from here.
Everyone thinks that. But that family's not from Red Grove.
Speaking of which, what about this place? Some of these fuckers ain't local. Never seen a brown person since their grandparents owned one. They outnumber us, too. How long before it comes to pass they get tired of being herded by a bunch of Indians?
We got all their guns. And they're all too civilized to shit any place that doesn't have a door. What the fuck are they gonna do?
What the fuck are they gonna do? One of them can come in here and infect this entire camp. It takes one, Trailer. And Joseph Pet Townie keeps dragging them in here.
Hey, fuck you.
Every one of these motherfuckers is a time bomb!
That's where we have a wall. Anyone flips in here, this place is a fucking shooting gallery.
Fucking Peaky and Maynard up there? They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. There's about, what, 100 people here? That's 3+ G's for every swinging dick we have. We don't have enough bullets, man.
You don't have to reload a sword.
Fuck this shit. So you say the res is clean. So be it. This is on you. When these bingo bunnies go south and cheese. Get word round, Jay. The res is clean. We got celebrating to do. The party in my place. Taking this gas from my fucking car.
Hey!
Let him go.
Why?
Because he's not wrong.
He instructs Joseph.
Follow me. Don't let it get out of hand.
All right, Dad.
Dad? It's a brave new world.
Trailer, Gizagoo, and Bumper load their weapons into the sheriff's truck.
Lead them to their parties. They have their recreation, and we have ours.
He shuts the trunk. Lying in bed, Charlie reaches out for Joseph in her sleep. Realizing he isn't there, she opens her eyes and stares at the ceiling. She clutches her belly with a concerned expression. As partygoers chat around him at his house, Lysol sits with a gun, smoking and brooding. Joseph walks over to his table with a beer.
Oh, hey. Oh. Listen, I'm glad you came, man. I wanted to tell you I shouldn't have put that gun on your lady this morning. Say, you're punching me in the face. This means you're gonna be a good father.
Is the weed talking?
He takes the joint from Lysol.
It is, but it isn't. I felt shitty about it, man. I think it's just more about Dad and our bullshit.
It's never gonna change.
It can change. You don't have to be a trash dad, Joey. Shit is optional.
Why do you choose to be a fucking asshole?
You give me my fucking joint back. Did it ever fucking dawn on you that I'm not someone to look up to? Like, if you have to get arrested to spend time with somebody, it's just fucking worthless. I'm not an asshole to impress you, Joseph. I'm just an asshole.
Joseph looks concerned as Lysol stares into a fire.
Sad. Find out family ain't shit.
I don't think you're shit.
Give it time.
Moon arrives, rattling a pill bottle.
This is the last of it.
Mommy.
All right. We're square.
Remember the night before Z-Day? A bunch of us got arrested for getting in a fight down at Fishman. Because of that chick right there.
Lysol points at the short-haired girl sitting by a flaming barrel.
Anyway, her boyfriend has a stripper's ass in his face. Lilith's pissed. So she is looking for some payback attention. And she's drunk enough that she'd be willing to get it from anyone, man. Anyone.
He crushes and cuts the pills with a playing card.
Long story short, I get her home. I'm eating her out, and she's gushing, right?
Fucking details you can spare me, man.
Fucking prig here all of a sudden. So the phone rings. It's Moon from the club saying the boys just got arrested for fighting this chick's boyfriend and his buddies. So I forget about the girl. I head straight down to the police station.
In a flashback, four cops turn to the doors as Lysol bursts in waving his arms. The cops look at his blood-smeared face.
I'm not even halfway through the door before I get arrested.
What for?
Fighting. And Shamu's like,
if you weren't fighting, then why is your
face all bloody? How come your face is all bloody?
What?
Hey, I wasn't fighting. What are you doing? This is bullshit, dude.
He wipes at his face, and they lead him away.
That's the most fucked up, repugnant shit I've ever heard.
At my age, he done it on purpose at least once. 50 times by mistake.
He pours the powder into a full beer bottle and sips it as foam froths out.
Hey, Lilith. Lilith.
He stumbles over to Lilith. Moon tries to start a conversation with Joseph.
The earth is an animal. Living and breathing.
Alessio.
He says, white men don't understand this.
That's why the dead keep coming back to life. Not because of God.
Later, Joseph walks into the house.
Because this planet we're on is so sick of our shit. This old, tired, angry animal. Turn these stupid fucking white men into something she can use again. Fertilizer.
Lysol, what the fuck?
I don't
Joseph opens a door and sees Lilith kneeling over Lysol, who cries as she calmly chews on his bitten off penis. In an animation, a skull sits in a hollowed-out tree.
Who says we're immune?
As Moon says, maybe the Earth just forgot about us, Lysol breathes rhythmically, clutching his kukri, with wooden towers in the background. He opens his eyes, and his face morphs into his skull mask, as the wooden towers burn behind him. Trailer, Gizagoo, and Bumper look down into the trunk, as Bumper asks, "How many did you say there was in there again?"
"Nada.
More than 10, 12 or 15 counting the girls."
They grab their weapons, and Bumper asks, "We're using shotguns?"
"That's cool.
Trailer is. We're inside. No fun in there with shotguns."
Gizagoo closes the boot, and they approach a gas station. By the door, Gizagoo pulls out his sword, Trailer loads his shotgun, and Bumper walks up to the door, studying it with his chainsaw in hand. Finding a rope on a tire, he ties it tight around a metal shelf, making a tripwire across the door. Trailer cocks the shotgun, as Bumper, with his chainsaw ready, pounds on the door and opens it. A Zed sprints out, tripping over the wire. Trailer shoots it in the back of the head. As Bumper moves into the building, Trailer drags the body away from the entrance, and talks to Shooker.
"Don't let any of them get out."
Trailer walks into the dark building. He shines the torch of his shotgun on a corpse, and moves past it. He passes into a hallway with cautious steps, lighting the way with the shotgun. At the entrance to a larger room, he stops and looks around. A Zed drops from the ceiling, snarling and flailing, and he shoots it. Walking into the room, he finds the Zed is hanging by its intestines from a second-story office window.
"Hey! Little fucking warning!"
Bumper pops his head out of the window, and says, "Look out," as he throws the rest of the body to the ground. Trailer climbs the stairs to the office.
"Yes, go."
In the office, he runs his torch over a pile of bodies, and asks, "How many did you get?" Bumper says, 4.
"Das Degic.
Nue Degic.
So there could be as many as 6 or 7 left in here."
"Maybe 10, says Bumper as Trailer stares in the direction of the clattering.
"Fuck."
They creep through the building.
"Check if that Jenny works. You throw another G at me, I want to see it coming."
Bumper fiddles with the generator, and the lights come on in the building. In front of them, doors swing open and a headless corpse falls through. They inch forward, and find Gizagoo surrounded by a pile of bodies in a blood-spattered room.
"Zed?
Zed, dead."
Holding up a head, Gizagoo lobs it toward them and it bounces along the ground. In the compound, Lysol opens the passenger door of a car, and struggles to light a cigarette.
"Joseph!"
He clutches at Joseph, who helps him out.
What the fuck's going on here, Matt?
Joseph.
Why don't we kill that G?
No, you gotta get someone to sound the alarm. You gotta get as many people as you can. You get them in that hall.
Why don't we bring that here?
It's obvious now. It's us and them.
Have you fucking lost it, man? There is no us or them. There's only us.
No.
Okay. Look. Just come downstairs. We can fix you up. The entire world's fucking dead, man. You still have a family, though.
Okay.
This can all stop. Just stop. Just stop.
I'm sorry.
Pulling Joseph into a hug, Lysol drives a knife into his gut. Joseph falls to the ground.
I have no family.
Moon opens the trunk, and a hooded Zed sits up. Moon drags the Zed into the hall, and she kneels down. Lysol throws Joseph in next to her and points his gun at him.
You're gonna eat all those dicks for me, okay?
He pulls off the blood-stained hood, and Lilith looks up, with yellow eyes and a bloody mouth. She gets up and lurches into the hall, and the people run. Charlie rests on her bed, holding her belly, as Joss speaks in Mi'kmaq to a sleeping girl.
What were you saying to her? I was telling her a story. She was scared. I used to tell it to Joseph, that story. It's about his grandfather. I'm scared, Joss. We're all here. This place is safe. Did you hear that?
Joss stands by the banging door with an axe, and Joseph bursts in, falling against the door.
Joseph! Joseph! What happened?
Lysol!
Everyone in the room looks up, terrified.
Everyone stay calm. There's the other exit.
A guy rushes out the door.
Wait!
The people in the room watch as blood seeps under the door. Charlie raises her hand.
Can we panic now?
The sheriff's truck and the Ford pull up outside the compound. Gizagoo, Bumper, and Sugar step out of their cars and join Trailer, who stares at the compound and speaks into his radio.
We're here.
I'm in the basement with Charlie, Joseph, and 8 other survivors. I don't think anyone else made it.
What was the head count up through last week?
150 townies.
Can your people move?
Not all of them.
Hold tight. We're coming to get you.
Trailer, hurry the fuck up.
Why do you want to do this?
Who's got the most meat on him?
They all turn to Bumper, who says, "No problem."
We're a lack nook.
Sugar approaches the gate and looks through a hole, as the tied-up Zed watches him.
It's bad.
From the car, Bumper says, "Get on with it."
You ready?
As Sugar grabs the handle of the gate, Bumper gives him a thumbs up, and gets in the sheriff's truck. He puts a mixtape in the radio and turns the volume up. Shooker opens the gate to reveal the compound full of feeding Zeds, who leap towards the truck as the music starts playing. They jump onto the truck and bang at the windows as bumper slowly reverses. The compound empties. Gizagoo unsheaths his sword as the three men enter the compound.
That'll buy us some time, but there's bound to be more inside. Get the truck. Don't use your gun unless you have to.
Shooker nods and hurries off. Trailer and Gizagoo move through the compound. Gizagoo stops as a Zed with no legs crawls towards him. He calmly buries the sword in its head and wipes the blade on his sleeve. Shooker arrives in the truck.
Circle around and keep the engine running.
They open a door and find Zed's banging on a basement door at the bottom of the stairs. Gizagoo cuts through them with his sword and goes into the basement. As Joss and Joseph hold back Zeds at a door, Gizagoo chops away limbs and Trailer forces it shut. Joss helps Joseph to a bench and sees to his wound.
Where the fuck were you?
It's Charlie.
What happened?
Get Charlie.
There's a truck outside. You want to live? Get on it.
As the others in the basement start to leave, Charlie doubles over in pain.
Move your ass!
Wait, let's go! Come on! Move, move! I'm not getting on without you!
The Zeds break through the door, and Trailer starts shooting. Outside, the Zeds notice the people piling into the truck. The Zeds chase the truck out of the compound and leap on two men who fall out. The group retreat into the stairway and hold both doors shut in complete darkness. The Zeds claw at both doors.
Fucking rescue.
This door's not gonna hold. You're gonna have to make a run for it. You have no choice. And if I don't make it out of here,
he says to his heartbroken ex and son, "I want you to tell my grandchildren big stories about me."
On the count of three! One!
Zeds break the door down and leap on Trailer, as Gizagoo opens the top door. The sheriff's truck pulls up, knocking over two Zeds. Joss grabs Trailer's hand as Zeds bite him, and blood streams from his neck. She lets go as Gizagoo pulls her away, and they run to the truck. Trailer cries out in pain, as blood spurts from his stomach, and Zeds chew at his guts. He stops moving. Joss, Joseph and Charlie sit in the back seat crying, as Zeds chase the truck out of the compound. The truck races down the road with its red lights flashing. The radio operator, Doris, sits stoically, as Lysol thrusts a walkie-talkie into her face, and James points a gun at her temple.
No. You're gonna say it exactly like I told you. No cute stuff.
Trailer.
They're killing people in the church. Normal, real people.
A Zed on a makeshift leash snarls in her face.
James and Moon are just killing him. And I'm fucking locked up here.
Gizagu slams the dashboard and picks up the radio.
I'm coming to get you.
Ed. Thank you. See you around. Good luck.
Lysol limps away, and Moon lets go of the rope holding the Zed. As the sun rises, the sheriff's truck pulls up next to a barricade, made of sharpened logs. As Gizagu and Joseph leave for the church, Joss nurses Charlie, as she pants in the back seat. A group of tied-up people huddled together in the church. Moon watches over them, swigging a bottle. Moon empties a bottle of gas over the group.
As we carry on.
James drags Dora's body through the church.
And now is time for whiskey. Kill, I got no more beer here today. I'm wishing for
she dumps it next to the group.
Not before I get me up here. We got a chance to get rid of all these fucking dependents. Was it for all? Meet back up here at the church. It makes an outbreak.
James examines one of the prisoners as Moon stumbles around.
Yeah, these fuckers come to the buffet. Then we torch the fuck out of them mid-meal. And that's fucking all of you. After all this, that's all you fuckers. We even got that bitch up in the belfry. You have to hand it to Lysol. Fucking, you know, crazier than a shithouse rat. But all in all, he has pretty good.
Gizagu appears behind Moon and smoothly slices through half of his face with his sword. As Moon falls to the floor, Gizagu points the sword at James.
Get Doris, boy.
You're gonna tell me where that fucking coward is.
As Bumper stands guard, Joss rubs Charlie's shoulder as her face contorts in pain, and she clutches her belly.
Just breathe. Ow! It's okay. Behind you!
A blade bursts through Bumper's gut, and he says, I can't. As Bumper falls to the ground, Lysol drops his cookery, takes off his skull mask, and stares at Charlie and Joss.
Then there was one.
Stop!
Keep fucking around. Put a bullet right in their fucking head.
Joss and Lysol point handguns at each other. Joss hesitates and drops the gun on the trunk of the truck.
Alan, we can still undo this.
No, this goes back so much further than that.
Good girl, Sola.
Fucking Sir Lancelot!
Bumper yells, stay away from her, and grabs Lysol's leg, who yanks it away. He drags Charlie out of the car, and she lies on the ground, protecting her belly.
You know, Joss, I wasn't the one who brought these people here. I didn't have a chick bringing plagued up Opies into the flock.
Fuck you!
Alan, I know how you feel. There was a time when I wanted to burn that compound down myself, but these are real people.
Pulling out keys, he walks to his car.
Don't you open that fucking trunk!
What are you gonna do to me?
Joss fires, hitting him as a Zed bursts out of the open trunk. Joseph sprints to them and finds a Zed on top of Charlie. Pulling out his machete, he cuts off its head. He calms Charlie on the ground and checks the bleeding wound on her neck.
Joseph, I've been bad.
By the church, as an army of Zeds wander through the cemetery, Joseph and Gizagoo carry Lysol into a clearing.
Yeah. You know, when you have some time to sit and think, just thank me. Says you're free.
They drop him, and he kneels on the field. Gizagoo takes Lysol's knife with a look of disgust and offers it to Joseph.
Nah.
Reluctantly, Joseph accepts it and kneels in front of Lysol.
Question. Joseph. Twin brothers. You really think that sick chick made it in the Muppet House by accident? I think I got the idea.
Embracing Lysol, Joseph plunges the knife between his ribs and lays him on his back. Lysol grabs Joseph's hand, who drops the knife and runs away. Gizagoo shoots his rifle into the air, and the Zeds around the church start running. Hundreds of Zeds sprint through the cemetery, leaping over fences, and Lysol grabs a knife and waits on the ground. Lysol stabs weakly at the Zeds who reach him. They tear him open and feast on his guts as he screams. More Zed's crowd around, fighting over pieces of his body. The Zeds feast in a frenzy. Joss and Joseph support Charlie as they walk to the shore, and Gizagoo follows, dragging Bumper. Charlie drops to the ground, and Joss sees the boat, which has been set alight.
God, what the fuck are we gonna do?
We're not gonna die here.
At the church, Zeds begin to run.
What are we gonna do, swim?
Listen!
Two men in a motorboat appear. Sugar gets out and runs to the group.
Where the fuck have you been?
They wouldn't let me wait. I heard shots, so I came.
Joss hugs him as more Zeds stream towards the river.
Okay, I got you.
Let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here.
As they help Bumper and Charlie into the boat, Gizagoo looks back.
We need to go. Grandpa, we need to go.
I'm not leaving this land again.
Gizagoo embraces Joseph, saying, "Don't look back here." As Joseph runs to the boat, Gizagoo turns and faces the oncoming Zeds. He drops his gear, unsheaths his sword, and waits outside his fishing shack. He holds his sword steady and waits to make his last stand. The Zeds stream towards him, and he slices through them one by one. One nearly overpowers him, and he drives the sword through her head. A wave of Zeds appear and force him back into the ruined stone building. In the boat, Joseph fixes his eyes on Charlie. Cornered on a platform just off the shore, Gizagoo fights off more Zeds. One jumps on his back, but he manages to shake her off and impale her. In a moment of quiet, he gazes out at his family on the boat. A number of Zeds overpower him and bite at his neck. More appear and grab him. Joseph looks back at his grandfather through the fog. The boat floats alone on the foggy river. The image changes to an animation of Gizagoo standing triumphantly on the platform, above a pile of Zeds. He says, "None of you are getting past this line," as he holds up a head.
Nice.
Next to a tangle of bare branches along the river, Charlie lies against Joseph in the boat, with Joss by her legs.
Push. You can do this. Push.
Come on, just push, Charlie. You're almost there.
You don't know what it is. Hurts.
I do. Come on, just push.
Just push.
All right, yeah. You're going to have to push, otherwise I'm going to have to cut you, okay? You're doing so good. Come on. Push.
Dude, like that? Come on, scoop.
Almost there.
With a final push from Charlie, Joss scoops the baby into her arms. Smiling, she wraps it in a cloth. Later, Charlie, who looks pale with dark circles under her eyes, wakes and sees Joseph holding the baby, with a gun.
It's too late.
He looks up from the baby, and hides the gun.
Little girl.
The gun.
Do you want to hold her?
No. I've been bitten. I'm sick. I can feel it.
She can't get sick. It's okay.
She hugs the baby to her chest and sobs.
So you can hold her.
No, I don't want to hurt her. Take her back.
Joseph takes her back, and Charlie rests her head against the boat, struggling to breathe.
She's gonna be okay. Maybe you'll be too.
No, I won't. Joseph, we have to end this. Don't let me turn into one of those dead people. Look at her. Hey. We did it. I love her.
Passing his daughter to Joss, he turns to Charlie with hunched shoulders. Joss takes the baby away, as he picks up the gun, and Charlie nods encouragingly. She squeezes her eyes shut, as he stands and aims. Charlie drops from sight, leaving a blood spatter behind her. Joseph sits, and overwhelmed, sobs uncontrollably. As the sun sets, Joseph sleeps clutching Charlie's body. In the gently rocking boat, Joss stares at her granddaughter in her arms. The picture cuts to the credits. Michael Gray Eyes as Trailer. L. Maya Tail Feathers as Joss. Forrest Goodluck as Joseph. Kiowa Gordon as Lysol. Olivia Scriven as Charlie. Stonehorse Lone Goman as Gizigo. Brandon Oaks as Bumper. William Below as Sugar. Gawenna Harde Debbie Jacob as James. Gary Farmer as Moon. Kit McQuaid as Shamu. Natalie Lee Conti as Lilith. Trevor Hayes as Man. Felicia Shulman as Doris. Anouk Matarine as Lydia and Nurse. Lake Kahantawak's Delilah as Sick Girl. Naomi Frenette as Sugar's Girlfriend. Helena Liliberte as Old Lady Driver. Matthew Seymour as Skinny Timmy. Matt Trudeau as Rufus. Victoria Bailey as Girl. Waylon Jameson Irvine as Newborn Baby. Written and directed by Jeff Barnaby. Music by Jeff Barnaby and Joe Barucco. The soundtrack, We Made It, written and performed by Cedric Burnside. Just One More, written and performed by George Jones. She Came Onto Me, written by Joseph Lewis, William Gregory Stevenson, Jordan Cook, and Michael Brinley, performed by Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears. Mommy's Little Guy, written and performed by Fawn Wood. Grandmother and Grandfather, performed by Eastern Eagle Singers. Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line, written by Ivy J. Bryant, performed by Waylon Jennings. Mommy's Little Guy. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Stars and the sky, you'll always be Mommy's Little Guy.
Copyright Blood Quantum Incorporated 2019.